Impact Life.
Just because it's officially autumn doesn't mean summer's over, because summer is a state of mind.
We'd hit the bottom, I thought it was my fault. In a way, I guess it was. I'm just now finding out what it was all about. We moved to the West Coast, away from everyone. She never told me that you called. Back when I was still in love, till I opened my eyes and walked out the door, and the clouds came tumbling down, and it's bye bye goodbye. I tried, and I twisted it wrong just to make it right. Had to leave myself behind, and I've been flying high all night. So come pick me up, landed.
I not love that song.
The management regret to inform you that the summer holiday is now officially history, and you bloody well better get back to work.
Greetings, Xenophiles. Wow, that was a track called Landed by Ben Folds. Ben Folds is 58 today, so happy birthday him. That's why I played it. On this day in 1964, the film that started the spaghetti western genre premiered. It was A Fistful of Dollars, directed by Sergio Leone, and the first leading role for Clint Eastwood. What happened to him?
We have no idea.
Never heard of him. On this day in 1624, the first ever submarine was tested in the River Thames for King James I. Pretty sure I wouldn't have gone in it. No. Talking about firsts, the first commercially funded spacewalk today. SpaceX. Elon Musk is a nutcase, but his company does some clever things.
He definitely does.
In 1958, Jack Kilby demonstrated the first integrated circuit, and that started the process of miniaturizing electronic components, ultimately led to the computers, gadgets, iPhones, and stuff that make up our world today. And the fact that you can now order Burritos Guerrilla on Taz from your phone is pretty much down to that guy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jack Kilby. Right, our guest this week, we have a repat. Yeah, we have, it's a Back to the Roots. Back to the Roots edition.
Back to the Roots.
One of those. And Simina. Now, because I'm English, I'm going to get your name wrong. Simina Mazurek.
Very well, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. Simina is from Romania. We'll find out exactly where in a minute when we get to that point. Been all over. We'll have to talk quick, because to get all the places that Simina has been, and now she's back to sort of... to settle or to bring back the things that you learned, or...
I do like both options, but I think more to bring back what I've seen in the world.
So, yeah. Good. And I like the fact that so many people want to do that. Yeah, there's a lot to learn out there and a lot to bring back, and it all helps. before we go into the usual four chapters, right, the first question, it's the hardest one of the night, right? Semina Mazuriak, who do you think you are?
Wow, obviously. who do I think I am? Well, probably a very simple person, but with tons of hobbies, a couple of obsessions, and really just being driven every day by sunrises. Let's put it this way.
Uh-huh, driven by sunrises. Yeah. I like that. That's poetic.
Yeah.
And okay, so let's get the story going. As I said earlier, we'll have to go quickly because we start at the beginning.
Expat life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
There we go, as the man said. Tell me about your childhood. You were born in Romania, you've established that, but it's a big old place. Where?
I was born in Vatra Dornei, Suceava. So nice. as I was, you know, going down the memory lane a couple of days ago, I was thinking what makes Vatra Dornei very special, and that's really the place where you can get the purest air and the purest water. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I would say, like not so much promoted a part of Romania, but there is where I was born. But childhood was in Suceava city, so in right. Bukovina,
okay,
which we take very much pride of.
Yes,
of, Bukovina. Yes, yes. Did you hear about the Bukovina? Moldova.
I've been there. Yes, yeah, so mm. It's the first thing that comes to mind is those marvelous painted churches.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Okay, that's an amazing thing, and I think I've probably been to them all because my wife is a maniac for churches of any kind, but especially those ones. But for me, it was also the landscape that surrounds them.
Exactly.
It's marvelous. It's not super spectacular like tall mountains or anything, but it's very green and it's very clean and it's very. As it should be.
It's a very special green, and I think that's because of the place that's situated, Suceava. But also, I think the people make quite a big difference there. So there is a special mood about Bukovina with like the simplicity of people, the mm-hmm. ways of living, and also the preserving of nature in there. So
yeah. And so you were in Suceava city, so you were a city girl, kind of. I mean, it's not a huge city, but still, you didn't grow up like in the. So you were playing in streets, not in fields, right?
That's true, but I was lucky enough to have, I still have a grandma. It's in the village. So I was just going there during the summer and, you know, doing chores. And I was very much in touch with nature mm-hmm. ever since I was little. And a story that my mom likes to say a lot is the fact that I used to gather small cats and save the little cats in there and talk to animals. So I had a happy childhood, let's say, from this point of view, because mm-hmm. I could get connected to that. But indeed, childhood per se was fully in the city.
Right. And were you part of a big group of siblings, or were you the golden child?
The golden child.
You were the golden child. Ah, so you didn't have to fight for attention.
No, I was not fighting for attention. But I'm the youngest in the family, so I do have a sister, a brother, mm-hmm. and I'm a proud auntie of four nephews. Whoa. I'm always taking pride of that mm-hmm. because they are really like my small kids.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now then. School. Did you enjoy it? Were you good at it? Was it just something that you felt you had to tolerate, or were you one of those who really enjoyed it?
I really love this question. Oh, yeah. And in fact, when I was going through it, I was really remembering different phases. So at first, I was brought to another school at some point because we were changing the neighborhood. So in the prime school, I was slightly terrified by my teacher, and that was because she was very tough.
Okay.
So I was really putting a lot of effort to be the best and to be, you know, to not annoy her, to not upset her. That kind of brought me a lot of visibility, and I became like her favorite, mm-hmm. her favorite student. And a very nice memory I have is like at the end of the fourth grades, she let me organize the full ceremony at the end of the of the school.
I can see where that's leading to. Okay, now it's something makes sense. Listeners, you'll find out what in a minute.
Yeah. In fact, something that I also want to connect is the fact it was a sports school, so I had nothing to do with sports back in the days,
right.
But somehow I was surrounded by very ambitious people, and, you know, sports was at the mm-hmm. core of the high school, so
right.
That's kind of built on the frustration that further on in my adulthood I tackled it, and I will tell it uh-huh. a bit. Yeah.
See, some of these ideas that maybe you tried to, or you thought you were rejecting when you were younger. No, they settle in there. And later on, they come.
They always get back to you.
Yeah.
You just can't run. No.
Correct. So, were you good at school? Were you good at a particular kind of thing? Were you Uman Saureal?
Uman, yes. I was pretty good at that. So I really loved literature, history, books, all of that. And this really led me to apply and to be selected. I like to say to the only specialization in the city with journalism and PR. Mm-hmm. So it was a high school of teachers mm-hmm. in Suceava. And actually that really enabled the hobby that I further on had for journalism mm-hmm. and writing and communication. And this really showed me a little bit on the fun side of this. So I really became very passionate about it. I was taking a lot of projects within the school. I was also doing radio shows during weekends. So
you want to sit here? places. This will be fun.
But I think I just took on the chance to take this very seriously yeah. and see where it can take mm-hmm. me and see if I'm good at it. And somehow I was good at it because I was running a student show every weekend for 3 hours mm-hmm. to moderate it. It was pretty insane if I think about it now, because every week I was having like tons, lots of papers and I was selecting songs and so on. But that was real practice that I chose to do. So mm-hmm. I just knocked at the radio door and I said, I really want to do this for the city. So,
but it comes down to what's the key? It's about communication. And that's another recurring theme that we'll come back to.
That's right. Yeah? That's right. So actually in high school, I explored pretty much a lot. I was writing in newspapers. I was also volunteering a lot into this sphere. So then in the last grade of high school, I had this teacher that pretty much changed my life. He was a priest, but he was doing PR. Mm-hmm. So it was the very first time I was hearing about public relations. And he told to us, like, guys, do you really want to go into journalism where you will be like pretty much, you'll have to fight a lot for stories and you have to, you know, all the time prove story about things mm-hmm. or you want to go into PR where you can actually apply it to all kind of markets. PR includes marketing as well.
Right.
And that was the aha moment that I got.
Yeah.
And so I applied to the PR and communication university at Iniash.
Right. Okay. And before that aha moment, what were you imagining you would be? You know, people, when you're sort of, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an astronaut, a what?
Yeah. A lot of phases. So when I was very small, saving kittens, and then it turned into being a singer at some point, because I, in all of the story, always the passion for music was there. Mm-hmm. And then in the journalism phase, let's say I dreamt about working more in the radio, television, newspapers and mm-hmm. so on. And then after, further on, it became really to do the greatest marketing campaign ever. So
see, that's I like that. To do not just to work in marketing, but to do the greatest marketing campaign ever.
Not mediocre. No, never.
Nice. Okay. We'll talk about the university and what you did after that. But already it's time for your first piece of music. And you picked some Placebo. Placebo. Yeah, Placebo. I saw it was about 3 weeks ago, I think they were here.
Yeah, that's right. And I had a ticket and mm-hmm. I couldn't call.
I did have a ticket and I did go.
Was it a good concert?
It was a good concert. You know what? The thing that really puzzled me all these years, I thought they were British. And then, hang on a minute, he's speaking with an American accent.
Okay.
How wrong could I be? Huh? It was quite okay. You know, they did the hits. It was fine.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Nice enough.
I heard different opinions, but...
Well, somebody said that it sounded a bit like a Placebo tribute act, but no, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't. No, it was quite okay. It's the second time I've seen them, and it was as good as the first. Anyway, the trick, you know, that one.
Yes, that's fun.
The most recognizable Placebo song, I think. Why did you pick this one?
Well, in fact, I'm still a big fan and I do follow everything that they do, but particularly this song because, well, my full youth was really dominated by rock, metal, progressive. Mm-hmm. I was constantly discovering new music. Everything was about that and the concerts in my city. But this particular song came into my mind because at the end of university, this was the first concert I came to when I came in Bucharest with my best friend Anna. Right. So that's why I said, okay, Placebo is really that time of my life. So
okay, so let's hear it. Placebo. That doesn't even need introducing, does it? It's that one we all know from Placebo. Right.
So much at stake. I serve my head up on a plate. It's only comfort calling late. Cause there's nothing else to do. Every me and every you. Every me and every you. Every me. Every me and every you. Every me. Selfish, I'm unkind. Sucker love, I always find someone to bruise and leave behind. All alone in space and time, there's nothing here but what here's mine. Something borrowed, something blue. Every me and every you. Every me and every you. Every me.
Gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
And we're back, Expat Life, with Simina Mazuriak.
Well done.
Oh, that's twice I got it right. I'm getting better at this. University to study PR things. What exactly and where?
In Yash. Mm-hmm. So that's a city 2 hours distance from Suceava. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting, and in fact, you make the best out of the university yourself. So if you really believe in a couple of things in there, if you do believe in the studies that you do, you'll also make it a great university. Mm-hmm. So what I really, really enjoyed was just, you know, the dreaming out loud about working in big companies and really changing changing perspectives, and actually, you know, bringing awareness, bringing communication, bringing everything to mm-hmm. the next level. So,
right.
But something that we definitely missed in there was the practicality of the studies that we had. So pretty much everything was on paper. But
okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's all on iPad or something. Oh.
But we did have a very, very nice organization that we were enrolled in. And there we had a couple of contests, so specifically Primate, it was called. Mm-hmm. I think they are still running.
Right.
And they're really bringing the practical stuff into mm-hmm. life. So we were doing a lot of contests in there and pretty much every theory into the real life. So
right.
That was nice to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you studied that for 3 years? Four?
For 3 years, but I had a life-changing moment, as I like to call it.
Okay.
So in the second year, I went to Erasmus in Portugal.
All right.
Yes.
I see. Yes.
The full narrative changed, but in fact, I have to go back a little bit because in the first year of university, before, big obsession on Brazil, do not ask why, but it was just a country, it was a language, it was music that everything spoke to me, let's say. And in the very first year, together with my friend, we saw that there are Portuguese classes, right, at the university. And I was like, come on, we have to take Portuguese classes. She was asking me, why do we have? And in my head, I was like, because at some point I will get to Brazil. So it makes sense to me. I don't know, in 5 years, 10 years, God knows.
What do you know that I don't? Hang on.
Yeah, she had no idea. I had a plan. And so after we studied that, and somehow the Erasmus scholarship unfolded right in Portugal. And I was like, of course, we'll apply. And of course, we'll go. So
it's a way to practice the language before you take the next step to Brazil.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. We didn't go together, but she went afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Portugal was completely life-changing. I think I had the best Erasmus experience I could have ever asked, because that led to me bringing the practice that that I had in there in Iași. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty much missing, let's say, maybe an onboarding in there, maybe some events. Of course, we are very much self-sufficient as Erasmus, but it was the very first time when I actually went outside Romania, so I traveled outside. Mm-hmm. My first travel trip, my first plane trip, and the very first time I was interacting with internationals, and I was like, this is really the world I want to live in.
Okay.
I want to learn cultures. I want to...
Eyes opened, horizons broadened. Yeah. Was it in Lisbon?
Not in Lisbon, was a very small city, Covilhã, in between Lisbon and Porto, but of course we visited pretty much everything. Yeah. Yeah, around.
Big fan of Portugal. I'd happily move there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, especially Lisbon. I mentioned earlier, even to Bogdan before the show, that you've been absolutely everywhere. If we talk about all the places you've been, we'll be here till tomorrow afternoon. Literally. So after you had finished you graduated and you went, I've got my diploma now. I'm free to go and do whatever. Where did you go and what did you do?
Of course, I didn't stay home because I was just too excited. There was that button that was triggered in Erasmus that said you have to go, but not to go like forever. You have to experience life, right? So that's what I did. And I took an internship in Milano, in Italy.
Okay.
Very brave of my parents to let me. Mm-hmm. I'm forever grateful for that moment because, it was very exciting. It was for a startup. It was that phase of startups. It was Facebook, Twitter, Instagram just launching then.
Right.
So yet another social network in there. I was doing community management. Pretty interesting. It's exactly where I got my hands dirty on absolutely everything. And also the environment of a startup is very specific because you don't know what the day brings.
Right.
Yeah. And every day we are like looking at the stats and how many users do we have? Mm-hmm. How do we make it more engaging, more friendly? This took 8 months and then, it kind of went not bankrupt, but it didn't have that much success, so I have to return.
Okay.
And that enabled really this thirst of continuously looking for things. So this brought me to Brussels further on, which was a very, very exciting job. But in fact, plenty of jobs. I will now go through that, but something that really links all of the positions that I had in there was just passion for technology. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring in something valuable to companies that are actually making a difference. So better be technology, better be startups, better be lobby, anything. It had to be something impactful. So this was also the way I chose the path.
Yeah. Because the technology is all fine and clever and it can be quite impressive to think, wow, it can do that, but is it useful? Well, the thing is to find a way to make it useful and make people understand what it's going to do for them. And then then you've got a success on your hands.
Yeah. That's true.
This is the thing. So you had Brussels, Ghent, Brussels, Antwerp. And you boom, boom, boom. So it feels like, from the point about startups is once they've started up, it's not a startup anymore. So you just went from startup to startup to startup to startup.
That's true, if you put it this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But in fact, I really like the journey because from a very small startup, then I joined like a big corporation and then I went back to the startup environment and then I went to the lobby and the European, European, let's say, bubble in Brussels and then back a little bit for 4 years, settlements in Antwerp for a home automation company, which was also technology, was also innovation. Yes. So it was also triggering. All of this up until the moment my dad died. And that was really a breaking moment where I was really considering about, does this all make sense? Yeah. In fact, career and job was very, very important to me. So it was a time when I had to put a stop and really look into another industry, an industry that's actually groundbreaking.
Right.
And this is how I got into the role that I'm now.
Right, and which we'll talk about after the second piece of music.
Yes.
Because it's already time for that. And you've gone with Tribalistas.
Tribalistas.
I always get the names wrong, British. Tribalistas, yeah, I'm not even going to say the name.
Já Sei Namorar.
That's the one, Já Sei Namorar.
That's the name of the song.
Mm-hmm. And why this one?
It really unfolds everything, all of the obsession, passion around Portugal, Brazil, the language is just a very cheerful song. It brings so many memories and it's just happiness in like 3 minutes.
Let's listen.
Paciência pra televisão. Eu não sou audiência para solidão. Eu sou de ninguém, eu sou de todo mundo e todo mundo me quer bem. Eu sou de ninguém, eu sou de todo mundo e todo mundo é meu também. Paciência pra televisão. Eu não sou audiência para solidão. Eu sou de ninguém, eu sou de todo mundo e todo mundo me quer bem. Eu sou de ninguém, eu sou de todo mundo e todo mundo é meu também. Tô te querendo como ninguém. Tô te querendo como Deus quiser. Tô te querendo como eu te quero. Tô te querendo.
As usual, if you listen to the podcast version of this, you get that song all the way to the end. You know what that means. We have to pay some bills.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Hai, n-ai undiță, ești la pescuit.
Gura mare, lasă vrăjala, mușcă momela, uită sfințeala, hai să-ți dau un tirs cu un cârlic frumos, vezi cum sare sângele din buza ta de jos. Mamă, mamă, ce te vină zeamă, se scurge pe bărbie, dar să nu ai teamă. Lasă-mă să vin cu gura mea pe buza ta, nu scoate cârligul, lasă-l că îmi place așa. Link rana, mi se limpezește prana, chem un uber și mă duc până nirvana, bag un șac cu Buddha și mă învață tibetana, bag și un vaccin că mi s-a inflamat membrana.
Pescarul amator, pescador de amor. Pescar, pescar, pescarul.
Înțeleagă în mare amarul. Pescar, scar, scar, pescarul. Prinde sirenele cu gârlige de aur.
Mamă, mamă, ce m-a luat răceala. Din cerca de o pilulă ca de nea. Mă uit atent și-l văd pe Mickey Mouse pe ea. O închid și aud deodată numai vocea ta. Și cu cântec de sirenă mă ademenește larg. Legați-mă ca pe Ulise de Catar. Că-l sparg, vraja e tare, coplă și doare. Șaptim cărlig în mine și mă trage adânc în mare. Îmi amintesc acum de ursitoare care ziceau că am să pierd ca un înger efemer. Căzut din cer, fulgera de Jupiter. Spune-m Lucifer, frăjit de cântece viclene. Alucinogene, nepământene, ce mă fac nene. Nu cred în plasme și-n povești lacrimogene. Mega tentacule îmi ies acum din vene. Zic cu tatăl nostru, sar în apă și plec să vâne sirene.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai, oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life,
chaotic, exotic,
exotic.
And we're back, Expat Life, with Simina Mazuriak. Thank you to Carrefour for that musical interlude there. That's what that, sometimes, instead of a commercial break, makes a pleasant change, if you ask me. Before we move on to the chaotic, quixotic, exotic, in other words, back in Romania, I could list all the places you wrote down that you've been, but it would be faster to list the places you haven't. We'd be here all night. But of all of the places you've been, which are, frankly, everywhere, what's your favourite?
Japan.
Ah, right, okay. Why?
Japan is something else. Japan, and it's a mood. Everything about this country, about the people, about the nature is just... imagine the future in 30 years from the present moment that we know, but still it's like the past from 20 years behind, because there is such a nice combination of, you know, modernity and keeping the traditional rules in there. And I think the people really made quite a difference in there, like the zenitude they have, but also giving all in the corporate life. It's just a beautiful chaotic mix. Not talking about the Japanese culture as well, which I'm very, very much passionate about.
Right. So. I mean, all I can think of is it would make me... I'm living inside Blade Runner. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And I suppose I'd have to go there to lose that incorrect notion, probably. So anyway, you explained that you decided you all this zooming around the place and all of this constantly searching for a thing or another. It's time to come home.
Time to come home, yeah. And that happens 1 year and a half ago already.
Right.
Yeah.
And so finally you decide, okay, that's it, enough already. Come back. Now, were you thinking you missed the place, or you were thinking, I want to bring back what I learned, or it was probably a combination, actually?
I do believe in the universe alignment above everything that we know. And I do think that's kind of the stars aligned for me towards this direction. But the company that I was working for and I'm currently working for, pretty important and that does really incredible things. But in Belgium, I was doing... I just had the thoughts of relocating, let's say. And I think there were some life situations that really brought me to the thought that I might want to come home for some time. And I got the promotion when I was in Belgium working for the same company. And
it suddenly was a pharma company, right?
Yes.
And still PR for the pharma company. Was it?
It's slightly complicated. So let's say it advanced towards it's a customer experience, let's say, role where we're actually taking care to bring in a really effortless, immersive type of communication to the people that we want to impact. So,
because I'm guessing it's all, you have to be reassuring, don't you? In the pharma game, you have to make people feel confident about the
That's
products.
Very true, especially post-COVID. But let's say that we're not tackling these parts anymore. Ah. We're going a bit higher.
Okay.
So really this promotion gave me the option to relocate in one of the countries that I'm currently supporting, Southeastern Europe countries, and Romania was there, so of course
right.
also
Oh look, yes, something's trying to tell the universe trying to tell me something. Yeah, boom, as opportunity comes. Take it. Does this company have a name or is it a top secret?
It's not a top secret, but MSD.
Okay. I'm just giving you an opportunity to promote it. You know? And so you came back and you got promoted to come back, right? And now, while you were away, were you coming back regularly or was this kind of like the first time back in a while? Did you notice anything had changed?
I was a regular visitor. I was coming for birthdays, for parties, for weddings, for you name it, any reason I could come. But it was not an obsessive coming back, let's say. It was more like I miss my family and I miss friends and I want to be part of these very important events. But when I came back, I was just so surprised by everything good about Romania. I never lived in Bucharest, so for me it was also the first time experiencing the city, and so this brings me to, I think, the next chapter, let's say, in the story, where I took the city by running. So basically I was pretty much discovering the city, running the parks around.
Right.
I was just putting the parks in the maps and I was just like, let's do around. So that's actually the way I discovered Bucharest in a completely different way, and that's what running does, I think, when you want to.
Yeah, you see what's around it. It's very strange when I drive down a street 100,000 times, and then for the first time I walk down it and I don't recognize it.
It's different. Yeah,
completely different. That steel box that you wrap yourself in when you're driving down a road really cuts you off.
That's true. And imagine being also in motion. You have some serotonin in there. Yeah. You have a nice piece of music. It's like it becomes an experience by itself. So.
And there are so many parks in Bucharest. There's one thing that a lot of people don't expect. I'm thinking about the foreigners who visit, you know, and so green.
That's true.
And
that's true.
Have you run around every single park in Bucharest now?
Ooh. I like to say I did, but even yesterday evening, I discovered two new little parks. Mm-hmm. One I knew, but I never ran into. Right. And the other one was just like, oh, it's green on the map. Let's go there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think I discovered it all. So, still have some.
What's your favorite park to run around?
I have a special connection with Herăstrău Park.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite spot for running is Lacul Mării.
That is now coming on, isn't it?
This
is a good opportunity actually to talk about Saturday night at Anagram Brewery, which is on the shore of Lacul Mării. It's the Viva Mexico Fiesta Party to celebrate Mexico's Independence Day.
Ooh, nice.
I'll be there. So let's go. It's going to be great.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about Lacul Mării until I think it was last year. They did a Red Bull thing there, when people jump off a thing into the lake trying to fly, and I just went to see out of curiosity, and it's the first time I'd walked around that lake, and I realized, man, they're bringing it on.
It's beautiful, and I don't know how it was in the past, but they did really a great job with the pavement in there. And if you go further in parallel from the lake, you get a very small delta in there with some birds, and it's just beautiful.
Cool. Now, okay, so not only about running around the parks and around in Bucharest, you tell me about the running club, as you call it. Tell me more about this thing. This is, in fact, why. How did Samina contact me? Yeah, let me tell the story here. I got a message from Samina saying, would you mind, could we mention this thing that I do on your show? And I said, I've got a better idea. Come on the show, mention it yourself. Off you go.
Yeah, and I said yes, and here I am. Yeah, the idea came from a need, of course, like everything in life. The brightest ideas come here, but also from some talks with some friends. So I was really missing in all of the parts that I've been a group where I can go run with. In Bucharest, there is one very massive and important group where I actually met a lot of very nice people that I bonded, 321 Sports. I want to tell about them as well because they're a great community and the strongest community. But then I was like, I got a moment where I felt okay for an expat, for somebody that doesn't really know the city, doesn't really know the language. Right. Maybe there is a spot in here to actually create some tours of discovering the city while running. And this is how I started putting this event on Meetup. And luckily, people showed up. And actually, I had 4 editions so far. I was also doing, because as a customer experience specialist, I was also taking some feedback from them. And I was asking them, is it actually needed? Do you enjoy doing this? Is this something that you would come often? And they were like, yes, of course, because we don't have time to actually, you know, go running. We don't know the places in here. So being in a safe space with somebody that knows and having this approach of things. And it was very interesting to see that after the runs, everyone was networking, socializing, exchanging numbers. And I was like,
drinking
that's
cold
fantastic.
Beers.
It's your alcohol beers. We do have a pattern there.
The nature of my job makes me think. I instinctively look for the snags, right? So running, but not everybody runs at the same speed. How do you cope with that?
That's true. I'm a very big fan of no objectives, no PRs, no pace. So this is really what's something that I was also stating in the description of the group. It needs to serve one objective, and the objective of the group is actually to meet, get around, and actually be able to talk while you run. This is something that I also say at the beginning, like, do not force yourself to prove anything. It's not about that. If you want to train for something else, go, you know. But the purpose of this is to enjoy the city, to be able to talk while you run, and to just get to know each other.
Leave your earphones at home.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of getting to be time for your next piece of music. But before we play it, how do people find this club if we're looking for it? Someone wants to come and find out what you do. Give me your socials.
Socials, there is only one, because I wanted to be sure focused, and it's called meetup.com. It's actually a very famous platform for internationals. Mm-hmm. Wherever they go, you go there and you find something to do. And just type in Running Expats in Bucharest and you find us.
Running Expats in Bucharest on meetup.com.
And if you join the club, you'll get all the notifications of the events. So,
right. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Now, already it's time for Dora Gajtanović. Tell me, why did you pick this one? And it's Anna.
Dora, yes. A special song, this one, special singer. In fact, it was the very first concert that I attended when I came back from Belgium. And it's really an artist that connected the love story that I'm living now, so it's very special to me. And I chose Anna because it has been part of the Eurovision contest, and I still think it was very much underrated, so let's give some
Dora Gajtanović with Anna. Let's remember the Eurovision victory that never was.
Ce pur de și voi, stele ascunse în noroi, nu m-or opri din drumul întunecat. Glasul duios și șoptit, de peste voi auzit.
Azi are reu în zi. is Expat Life. You know you want it.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
And the next chapter, the last chapter. We've got about 2 minutes, maybe maximum three.
Let's print it.
Simina Mazoriak. So, future, what happens next?
A lot of dreams, but in the very, very near future, just marathon prep, I think. So
marathon prep, okay, because running is one thing. I mean, running, having a gentle jog around the lake, that's one thing. But running a marathon, that's a whole other game.
It depends what you make of it. It can be felt like a jog in the park.
Yeah. Really? So I suppose it's about your attitude, right?
Exactly. It's all in the head. It's just... Yeah. And how you treat it,
So you've already done six, right? And have you done a better time in each one? I mean, are you steadily improving?
Not really, and I never really looked for the timing. It was just the full experience. But let's say that last year I did the best one just because the weather was great. It was also my birthday, so...
Oh, okay.
It was everything around it,
So I made it. Yeah, so obviously you're going to do more running. When's your next marathon? Where?
It will be in November in East France.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's nice. And longer term, are you not starting to get wanderlust again, you know, wanting to disappear and fly around again and do lots of... Are you feeling settled?
I believe in settlement, let's say, but what is being settled all about? Definitely, I want to be here. I want to bring in what I've seen. I really like this part of the story, what I've seen around the world, to bring a bit here and make it a better place. And I do believe that there are so many great options, opportunities, and things to improve in Romania. I'm pleasantly surprised, and I haven't been happier, to be honest.
Okay, excellent, good to hear it. It's a nation that's on the up, and I still feel it. The rate of change is not as chaotic or as quick as it was in the 90s, late 90s, but it's all in the right direction.
That's true.
That's what I think. True. Excellent. That's a nice way, a nice note on which to end it. We've barely scratched the surface, and I have a feeling I'll be asking you to come back and go into a bit more detail, maybe.
Already saying
on
yes.
some of those things. We're going to go out with a track from Johnny Thunder called I'm Alive. I don't even think I need to ask why, but I'm going to anyway. Why did you pick Johnny Thunder and I'm Alive?
In fact, the idea came last weekend. I was at the seaside with some friends, and we were in the morning, and after a run with my boyfriend, we were just sitting in front of the house, and suddenly the song came, and everything made sense. Everything makes sense in life, and everything made sense in my body and around me, and it really clicked everything, and so. This is the song to end.
Johnny Thunder, I'm Alive. Nice, lively one. This will wake everybody up. Don't forget the Underground Brewery, La Cumori, Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
And
it was a pleasure.
Go out with Johnny Thunder. This has been Expat Life. Thank you.
I'm alive.
No piece of metal, y'all.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New maps, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, a pasă 1.